Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. I am your host, Al Martin. It is the final day in the month of April. Can you believe that? It is April 30th, 2020. Tomorrow turns the clock and the page on April of 2020, and we head into May. And hopefully we are, again, just inching closer and closer to some kind of normalcy as we undergo and try and get through this pandemic together. And again, I really hope you guys are staying safe out there and taking the necessary precautions, right? I don't know how many times I can say that. You know, I got a call. It was a pleasant surprise. I got a call from one of our interns, former interns at WKAR, Skylar Ashley, who hit me up, and he now works for the Lansing City Pulse as a reporter. And he is doing a piece on quarantine and how it's affecting and impacting so many different walks of life. And, you know, how many different people who have different jobs, how we are all passing the time in quarantine in light of the pandemic. And Skylar hit me up. You know, he's such a bright young man, and it was such a joy having him a part of WKAR for the time that he was here. He primarily worked with the news team. But, you know, Skylar, he was a sports fan, and you know, we would talk in the office all the time about what was happening with Michigan State sports or pro sports as well. Excuse me. And Skylar hit me up yesterday saying, "Al, you got some time to talk?" And I said, "Look, man, I'm at home just like you. I ain't got nothing but time. All right." And he said, "Can I give you a call this afternoon?" And you know, I'm doing a piece on the pandemic and how people are dealing with quarantine as professionals. And, you know, so he called me and we talked for about 20 minutes. And, you know, I told him what I've been up to. It's just been a lot of reading for me. I've been reading a lot of books, you know, and I'm coming at my wit's end when it comes to, you know, needing some new reading material. So I need to maybe hop online and see what's out. But you know, I've been reading a lot of books. If I'm not reading, I'm either doing some meditating, or if I'm not meditating, I'm doing, you know, some kind of workout. If I'm not working out, I'm watching, of course, just like many of you out there, I'm watching some good old TV, watching some Netflix. So I talked about that and you know, I touched on how important mental health is during this time, especially, you know, I know I have a lot of listeners out there. You know, not all of you are married or have a boo at home. You're not quarantined with a quarantine bae, right? You may be living by yourself. And, you know, it's so easy to get lonely during this time. So I also touched on that and how mental health is so important during this time, making sure that if you do live alone, that you are utilizing your cellular device and hitting up family and friends and FaceTiming them and just are in constant conversation and connection with other people if you do live alone. Because, I mean, when you're just staring at four walls all day, you know, no human being was made to live that way. And it can certainly, you know, do some numbers on your mental if you're not careful. So I just really hope you guys are doing well. But, yeah, that piece with Skylar is going to be coming out. Heck, it may be out now. I mean, it's after 1 o'clock now. It may be coming out maybe after the show, after 2 o'clock. He just told me later on this afternoon, so I have to check later so you guys can check it out. I'm not sure who else he interviewed, but it was great talking with Skylar. And we also touched upon how sports are going to resume, and I kind of gave him a peek into how current sports is still on the air, just like many sports talk shows out there. You know, I was talking with fellow sports broadcaster Jack Ebling earlier this week, and we had a conversation on how our shows are proceeding throughout this pandemic, because it can definitely be a little bit tough. I mean, when you are a sports talk show and you don't have live sports taking place, I mean, it's a bit of a bummer, right? You can't talk about it really. And to be honest, I feel like my calendar for the year is a bit off. You know, the fact that March Madness was snatched away from us, and the fact that we didn't see the Masters take place earlier this month, didn't get a chance to see Tiger Woods defend his green jacket win of last year. You know, it's a bit off right now. I'm not even sure, you know, during a regular sporting calendar what would be taking place right now. Let me see here. If it was normal, we would still have the NBA playoffs taking place, right? And a lot of baseball and a little bit of college football, spring football, some spring games sprinkled in there as well. So Skylar, you know, he wanted to know about that as well. I mean, you know, how is current sports doing in the midst of the pandemic? And it's a little bit weird. I can't even lie to you guys. I mean, you guys know. I mean, and also just the dynamic of not having my engineers and Alec Rio and Jack Kerwin and Connor Mathis on the show, not having that second voice on the show has really been different. But we've been getting by, man, and thanks to you guys, you know, I really appreciate all of the listeners out there who continue to tune in and day out. And I'm actually in, you know, I'm trying to get into the works here of having you all stay a part of the show. You know, even though you guys can't call in, you know, I'm in the process of trying to at least have you guys leave voice messages so that you can be a part of current sports. Because I do miss having a second voice on the show. And I told you guys 2 weeks ago how much I miss hearing from you guys, hearing your voices and having you contribute to current sports, because you guys are, you know, it's a caller-driven show. It really is. You know I talk my jazz every single day here on the show and have been for you know, since 2013 now, but I mean, it's a caller-driven show. It was a caller-driven show before I got here when it was hosted by the great Earl Robinson, and it continues to be that. Your voice is what is most important. Okay, so, it was really cool talking with Skylar, and you know, we also talked about The Last Dance. You know, I absolutely loved the first four episodes, and the best is certainly yet to come. The best is yet to come. I can't wait for these next six episodes, because they are going to be absolutely amazing. So let's proceed here because we got a lot to get to. I want to talk about those next six episodes and what to expect, but I also want to highlight what we've already seen in The Last Dance. I haven't been able to do that this week. Because, you know, in talking with Skyler, he's been, you know, he follows me on social media, so he knows how excited I've been. So we talked about that and how that has really been a safe haven for sports fans out there. And last weekend's episodes were so intriguing because they were centered upon the Bad Boys Pistons, right? The Bad Boys. And that rivalry between Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls and our beloved Detroit Pistons. And it sparked up some controversy when it comes to Isaiah Thomas, who has been controversial throughout his playing career and post his playing career, to be quite honest with you. And you know, that situation in 1991 where Bill Laimbeer rallied the troops and said, "Hey, let's walk out and not even shake Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls' hands," after the Bulls were able to close out the Detroit Pistons and Michael Jordan was able to finally get over that hump, the backlash that Isaiah Thomas and his teammates took. So I'm going to comment on all of that, as well as we'll talk some NFL today. Specifically, I want to tell you guys about what Brett Favre thinks about the future of Aaron Rodgers as a member of the Green Bay Packers. So we got some juicy topics to get to. All right. If you would like to be a part of the show, again, you can't call, but you can text us. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can text. You can go to facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment there. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start here with some news coming out of the camp of Michigan State football. Mel Tucker, head coach, new head coach of the Spartans. He is rebuilding, recruiting bridges close to home with his first full class. He is also taking Michigan State football back to Texas. How about this? The Spartans landed their second 2021 recruit from the Lone Star State in Texas in the past week on Wednesday with the commit of three-star prospect Cameron Allen from North Forney High in Forney, Texas. The 6'5", 220-pound tight end slash wide receiver. He chose the Spartans over Arizona, Boise State, Missouri, and others, as well as the three service academies, Army, Air Force, and, of course, Navy. So Michigan State landed, you guys remember the quarterback, Hamp Fay, from Fort Worth, Texas. So on Saturday, we brought that news to you guys on the Monday edition of the show. And five of the Spartans' nine recruits for 2021 are from out of the state of Texas, with three of the four from Metro Detroit. So an emphasis on Metro Detroit and also in Texas. And, you know, Texas is one of the hotbeds when it comes to top high school football talent. You know, Texas high school football is a religion down there. And, you know, you can compare it to that of the likes of Florida, where you can pretty much play year-round. The weather doesn't get horrible, you know, for 12 months out the year. Throughout the 12 months in the year, I should say. You don't have harsh winter out there. So, you know, these players can play all year round. And the culture that is Texas high school football is pretty amazing. So the fact that Mel Tucker has been tapping into recruiting down there is pretty impressive. So, again, Cameron Allen, the 6'5", 220-pound tight end slash wide receiver. He will be heading to Michigan State. Awesome stuff. Okay, as I mentioned, you know, during, you know, the pandemic and how we're all in quarantine here in the state of Michigan, you know, you're looking for ways to stay engaged. You're looking for ways to stay productive. And maybe you're looking for ways just to learn more about your craft, especially for all of my young listeners out there. And whether you feel like your ball handling skills are fading, or you just want to do something physically active, one of the more popular Michigan basketball players in recent history, he wants to help you. Check this. Spike Albrecht, best known for his performance off the bench in the 2013 National Championship, he is hosting free basketball clinics on the video conference platform Zoom, which is immensely popular right now with everybody, right? I mean, Zoom, I'm pretty sure many of you have done Zoom parties with your homies out there or have had to Zoom in with your coworkers for a meeting. Zoom is huge. And, you know, it left me wondering what in the world happened to Skype. Nobody Skypes anymore. Zoom is the thing. So this is what Albrecht had to say with his free basketball clinics on Zoom. This is what Spike Albrecht had to say. Quote, "It's an energy burner for the young kids. Gets them off the video games." End quote. I love that. And yeah, I've been playing a lot of video games. I forgot to mention that. I've been playing a ton of video games during quarantine as well. I didn't even mention that to Skyler. Maybe he needs to add that in there as well. For the past couple of weeks, you know, Albrecht has reached out to coaches he knows in Northwest Indiana and Michigan, where he was a two-time captain for the Wolverines before playing a graduate season at Purdue. They spread the word, and kids of all ages are starting to sign up for Spike Albrecht's Zoom coaching sessions. So that's awesome stuff. Look it up online, and you can find how your little one, if you have a little one who is a ball player and you know, needs to work on his or her game during quarantine as kids are home from school as well and are restless. Check this out, man. Spike Albrecht giving back and offering some Zoom lessons. I love that. Okay, to show their appreciation for hospital workers battling the coronavirus pandemic, Detroit Lions receiver Marvin Jones and his wife Jasmine will provide 1,000 hot meals today at Henry Ford Wyandotte Hospital. This is what the Joneses had to say in a statement, quote, "We are so inspired by the courage shown by the men and women on the front lines across our nation. They work tirelessly to do all that they can to help and care for the people while risking their own health." Food trucks will serve meals during lunch, which happened this morning and into the afternoon from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And then later on this evening, dinner will be served from 8 to 9 p.m. in the hospital's parking lot. I love that. The Joneses are also donating 250 cakes from their Nothing But Cakes store in Troy, Michigan. As of Wednesday, Henry Ford Health System reported that it had tested over 20,000 patients with over 6,000 testing positive. Currently, their hospitals have 377 patients admitted. So that's awesome stuff. You love to see people of influence, people who've got the moolah and the means to do it, people who are blessed financially, be able to give to those who are on the front lines, specifically hospital healthcare workers who are risking their lives every single day to fight this pandemic and make our world safer. So shout out to Marvin Jones and, of course, those on the front lines. All right, Brett Favre, he spent 08 with the New York Jets and a couple of seasons with the Minnesota Vikings. It was bittersweet for the Green Bay Packers legend. I was a huge Brett Favre fan when I was growing up. Brett Favre and John Elway, those were my guys when I was like 8, 9 years old growing up, falling in love with the game of football. So now Favre, he thinks Aaron Rodgers, A.A. Ron, will endure the same fate and finish his career elsewhere after Green Bay traded up to draft quarterback Jordan Love last week. I commented on this after that first round because it was very shocking to see the Packers move up to snag Jordan Love. And then the report came out that the Green Bay Packers didn't even notify Aaron Rodgers that this was a possibility, that they were going to do this. So very interesting there, right? This is what Favre told Rich Eisen of his gut feeling yesterday. Quote, "I think he'll play somewhere else. I don't know this for certain, but I guarantee you it's got the wheels turning in Aaron's mind. If that's the case, then that means there's a chip on his shoulder toward the organization that otherwise was not there. All he needs is a reason other than this reason to expedite that." End quote. Very, very interesting comments there from Brett Favre. Green Bay was 13-3 last season and lost in the NFC Championship to the San Francisco 49ers. Rodgers, a 4,000-yard passing season under first-year coach Matt LaFleur. He'll turn 37 years old during the 2020 season. Maybe a first-round pick could have been used towards one last Super Bowl run? I don't know. But what we do know, is that the Packers went with quarterback Jordan Love. Interesting. All right, the Detroit Red Wings have signed goaltender Victor Brattstrom to a 2-year entry-level contract. The 6'4", 198-pound Victor Brattstrom is coming off a strong season for Timrå IK out in Sweden. That's Sweden's second-highest league. He went 33-12-0, ranking second in the league with a 2.13 goals against average and sixth in save percentage, a .914. He was drafted 160th overall in the sixth round back in 2018. And Brattstrom, who is 23 years old, he will spend next season on loan out in Finland, a club out in Finland's top league. The Winged Wheel had to sign him this year or relinquish his NHL rights. All right, and former U.S. Olympic and national team coach Maggie Haney received an 8-year suspension from USA Gymnastics yesterday for verbal emotional abuse against her gymnast. That's according to the Orange County Register. Now, the decision was reportedly preceded by 2 months of hearings in which Lori Hernandez, a member of the gold medal winning 2016 United States team, testified against her longtime coach, world champ artistic gymnast Riley McCusker, also reportedly wrote a letter critical of Haney. Haney, once one of the country's most prominent gymnastics coaches, was found by a USA Gymnastics hearing panel to have failed to, quote, provide a safe, positive, and healthy environment with a culture of trust and empowerment, end quote. So again, former U.S. Olympic and national team coach Maggie Haney receiving an 8-year suspension. And last but not least here, we've been talking about how professional sports are talking about resuming. What would that look like? And we've specifically been addressing how the NBA is starting to get the wheels churning on how they can resume a season. And as sports leagues throw around possible ways to return to action amid the coronavirus pandemic, the NBA is thinking outside the box for a possible option. Check this. Walt Disney World Resort in Lake Bonavista, Florida, has been mentioned as a possible site for the NBA to play out its season. That's according to The Athletic. Now, the idea of a bubble league in which players play games in empty stadiums and stay isolated at hotels when not playing That idea has been floated around across leagues for months with varying reception. It seems to be the best way leagues can hold games and still receive television revenue while minimizing risk. But it asks a lot for players and other employees to isolate for months, possibly from their families, just to hold and play games. There's also the uncomfortable possibility that a player could still contract the virus and infect a large chunk of the league again. Before the whole Rudy Gobert situation, we were having those conversations, those small conversations at the time, and saying, can you imagine if there was a breakout in professional sports like the NBA where everybody's around each other and touching the same ball, how that could spread and just how highly contagious the coronavirus is. So, and then, you know, do players want to isolate for months, be away from their families for months? I don't know. Maybe these players being around their family this much has grown a bit old. And maybe a lot of players are like, all right, I got to get away from my family. I'm going crazy at home. All right. I see them 24/7. I don't like this. Let's get back to business. Let me get away from them and let me play the game I love. I don't know if many players are thinking that. I'm sure there are a few, okay? but still, the league wants to pull this off. It's hard to think of a place that has more benefits than Disney World. Can't argue with that, right? I mean, it's Disney World. Usually, you don't go to Disney World as an NBA player after the season is done unless you win a ring. But, I mean, Disney World Resort has so many hotel avenues. Great weather. Happy place. Maybe they can get that thing done. How soon? That remains to be seen. All right, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. And what I want to do right now is our first break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about my thoughts on The Last Dance episodes 3 and 4, how intriguing they were, and we'll touch on the Chicago Bulls and Detroit Pistons rivalry and how interesting that was to see on camera, on film, docu-style, with some former Pistons being highlighted and a very interesting moment in which you got Michael Jordan's reaction to Isaiah Thomas's 2020 feelings on the 1991 NBA Finals, well, excuse me, not NBA Finals, NBA Eastern Conference Finals walkout, in which the Pistons finally lost to Jordan's Bulls. That and more on this Thursday, Friday Eve edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Okay, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. It is so good to be here pumping through your speakers on this April 30th, 2020. Again, this is the final day in the month of April. Tomorrow we turn back the clock. Tomorrow, I should say, we turn the page, not turn back the clock. I always say that because I'm thinking about Throwback Thursday, right? tomorrow we turn the page on April and we usher in May. I also want to say this. I don't know if you guys saw the Michigan State University Twitter account yesterday, but it was a really cool video that was put together congratulating the 2020 Michigan State class, those who are becoming Michigan State alum, those who have, you know, been on the grind for years, waiting on this moment. You know, ideally, of course, you would have loved to walk across that stage, hear your name called by our very own Scott Pohl or Jody Knoll or Jamie Paisley. But, of course, with the pandemic taking place, things are a bit different, and you won't be able to do that in person. But I do want to say congratulations to the 2020 class. There was a very cool video put together with some of the big-time Michigan State alum names. That video, of course, was started off by the great Irvin Magic Johnson as he congratulated. He started off the congratulations to the 2020 class. I know Justin Abdelkader, hockey player, Red Wings, right? He spoke on that video as well. Our dear friend of the show, Jamel Hill, who is a Michigan State grad, and now, you know, she was on ESPN for years and now is doing her own thing with her very own podcast and is still writing as well. You know, even my fraternity brother, who is the front page editor of the Huffington Post, my good fraternity brother, Phil Lewis, also a part of that video, Jonathan Kirkland, who is an actor from Michigan State University, an MSU grad, who acted in, you know, the Broadway production of Hamilton out in Chicago. I mean, so many different names in that video. Give it a look. And, you know, it just reminded me to say congratulations to all of the grads out there. Even if your name may be called virtually, still very cool stuff, and you deserve to be celebrated. Look, it's not easy to earn a degree, and, you know, you throw on top, I mean, you're earning a degree from, you know, a top university in Michigan State University. It's tough. It's a grind. Trust, I know. So this is not, you know, anything that should just be looked at as, oh, yeah, okay, congratulations. No, celebrate this. Celebrate this. I mean, celebrate it responsibly. You know, I've seen many people during graduation season already. You know, I saw a friend of mine yesterday. She celebrated, you know, by holding a Zoom while, because she graduated from Wayne State University. She held a Zoom conference and went live on Instagram as virtually names were called by the university, and she waited for her name to be called, and people just celebrated her on Zoom. And then she even had members of her family and also friends drive up in cars outside of her house. They all stayed at least 6 feet apart. Every car was 6 feet apart, and they all got out and congratulated her from a distance. So there are creative ways to celebrate and still see loved ones, and I love it. I love it. So congratulations to all of you guys. Okay. I want to comment on what we saw in The Last Dance, episodes 3 and 4, because, man, you know, if you thought episodes 1 and 2 were good, 3 and 4 were even better. And what I'm hearing is that, I mean, the next 6 episodes are going to be even better than those first 4. So, you know, I'm just loving it right now. It's great, great storytelling. And I want to give a quick recap because there were so many things to cover, man. So many things to cover when you're talking about those 2 hours. First off, Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was a big focus on this weekend's 2 episodes. We got to really see, because I don't think that Dennis is talked about enough. When you discuss those 1990s Bulls teams. Now, we all know Dennis Rodman was not a member of the first three-peat by Jordan and Pippen and the Bulls. But Dennis came along and was a part of the team during the second three-peat. And, you know, to hear the backstory of that, Jerry Krause initially didn't want Dennis Rodman. You know, thought Dennis Rodman was a loose cannon, just like many of us did. You know, Dennis Rodman, you know, wearing the wedding dress and, you know, the elaborate hairstyles and, you know, getting to it with different players on the court. You know, the guy was different. I'll say that. And prior to Dennis coming to the Chicago Bulls, there aren't many people who thought that was going to work out, because we're talking about the uber intense Michael Jordan, no nonsense, fully focused on one thing, and that's winning games. You know, bringing Dennis to a team like that, which Jordan had so locked in, it may have been a distraction. And how were they going to deal with that personality? But that is where the coaching genius of Phil Jackson comes in. And Phil was also profiled. It was, you know, it's great storytelling here because the Dennis Rodman conversation goes hand in hand with the Phil Jackson conversation. You know, Phil Jackson had a personality that the players could relate to, but he had this great balance of giving you some leash to be you while also having some non-negotiables. Phil Jackson did a great job of balancing egos because he had a great balance of no-nonsense focus, but also some leniency that allowed players to relax and unwind a little bit and be themselves. If Dennis Rodman had played under a different coach in the 90s, it would have been a problem. They could relate. Phil and Dennis could relate. I love the part that it talked about, you know, Rodman and Jackson's love, shared love of Native American culture. And then to hear Phil's backstory, how he was a bit of a hippie back in the day. Not a bit of a hippie. He was a hippie back in the day, right? and how he would just sit on the beach, right? And he experimented with you know, psychedelics. I mean, that was Phil Jackson. Then, you know, his Native American fascination with that culture and getting in touch with his inner being. And then the yoga sessions that he would hold with the Chicago Bulls teams. And then he would give every player a book that he believed spoke to that particular player for that upcoming year. I mean, that kind of stuff is stuff that just, you know, it just makes you look at Phil Jackson as more than a coach. He really cared about you as a person. He let you relax, but he also was a great basketball mind. And that's something Rodman could get jiggy with, man. He understood that. But, you know, the documentary from Sunday night also showed us how much of an unbelievable basketball player Dennis Rodman was. He's arguably the greatest defensive player to ever play the game. And I think there's no debate about this. There's no arguing this. He was the greatest rebounder. He is the greatest rebounder in the history of basketball. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, breaking down the extensive prep work that he did to learn how different shooters would result in different types of rebounds, or other players marveling at his ability to defend five positions. And then the stories about his endless energy as it pertains to his nightlife. That's what really got me, right? I mean, can you imagine in 2020, you know, the story about him and Carmen Electra going to Vegas and Dennis saying, look, Phil, all right, Scotty's back. I need 48 hours to go and let loose. I need a vacation. Jordan saying, what? Phil, you're crazy. If anybody needs a vacation, it's me. Phil let Dennis Rodman go out to Vegas, party it up, and it went past the 48-hour limit. But they let Dennis go and party it up so that, you know, he was fully focused on the season when he got back. He needed to get all of this out of his system. It's something he needed to do. Can you imagine that happening in 2020? A player of Dennis Rodman's caliber, a superstar in the game, being allowed to go to Vegas to party for a few days. Can you imagine how that would go over in 2020? Oh, so that was just so cool to see. And then, you know, they even touched on, and I think that, you know, these Last Dance episodes need to be treated like Avengers movies, where you have to, like, see at least two documentaries before you watch The Last Dance to really fully understand how the Pistons view Dennis Rodman. Like, you got to watch the Dennis Rodman 30 for 30, and you got to watch the Bad Boys documentary, that 30 for 30. Both of those 30 for 30s kind of add more context into what you saw in episodes 3 and 4. And then the whole Bad Boys rivalry. You know, I love that. The Bulls and the Pistons, you know, in the moment that's being highlighted is the 1991 walkout. You know, first off, you know, they really put in perspective just how tough it was for Michael Jordan during that time. You don't have physical play like that in today's game anymore, which is why, you know, that's what separates Michael Jordan. Also, what separates Michael Jordan from the rest of the pack when you're discussing the greatest basketball players of all time. No other superstar in the history of basketball has had to endure that kind of physical beating on a yearly basis like Jordan did when he played the Detroit Pistons. Nobody. It's not even close. Not even close, folks. There's no player you can bring up. They had to derive rules to stop this man. If he's on the wing, push him to the baseline. If he drives baseline, hammer him when he gets in the paint. If he's at the top of the key, force him left. And anytime he tries to take flight, you nail him. Those were the Jordan rules. So I love seeing that hate. I mean, that hate still lasts to this day. You know, when they show Michael Jordan on the iPad, Isaiah Thomas's response to whether or not he regrets walking off the floor along with his teammates. Not everybody, you know, what everybody does not talk about during that moment is there were a couple of players who did lag back and did shake Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls' hands, you know, prior to walking off the floor. And there was a passing of the torch in the East, if you will. I believe Joe Dumars and John Sally were the two players who stayed back and dapped up Jordan and the Bulls. John Sally, who has been wildly entertaining as well, watching him on that documentary as well. You know, I love the part where he said, yeah, you can't let Michael take flight. You got to hammer him because, you know, he's not human. but the hate still lasts to this day. When they showed Jordan that response from Isaiah in hindsight, you know, Jordan's just like, I don't care what you show me. There's no way you can convince me that he's not a bleep. You know, you can just imagine what he said. You know what he said for those who watched the series. But, you know, the fact that Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons are still getting hammered for that moment, you know, I get it. But we all knew this story. We all saw it. You know, Jordan dapped up the Pistons anytime he lost. I mean, they showed a montage of that. Anytime Jordan and the Bulls were eliminated, Jordan still shook hands, congratulated him, and then walked off the floor. That's just sportsmanship, man. And the Bad Boys, they fully embraced that Bad Boys mantra. They lived up to that name. It wasn't just a name for them. They fully embraced it. There was a reason why they were called the Bad Boys, and they embraced it to the end. So there's still bad blood to this day, and I think in the coming episodes, we are really going to get to hear truly why Isaiah Thomas was not a part of the Dream Team. Because a lot of people just solely place it on Michael Jordan in that incident. Oh, that's what kept Isaiah off the Dream Team. No. It's deeper than that. Because Isaiah Thomas, and I agree with Mike, I think Isaiah Thomas is the second greatest point guard to ever play this game, right behind Magic Johnson. Right behind Irvin Magic Johnson, Lansing's favorite son. You cannot argue with Isaiah Thomas, the player. But the person, he got into it with Magic. They were previously really close friends. I mean, heck, they would kiss before tip-off of basketball games. He had his thing with Bird. They had some beef, right? The whole quote-unquote white player comment. And then Jordan in that walkout. This was a collective decision here. So we'll hear that in the coming episodes. I want to hit our final break. When I do come back, I'll put a bow on this Thursday edition of the show with some Throwback Thursday. And also, I'll briefly touch on Brett Favre predicting that Aaron Rodgers will not finish his career out in Wisconsin. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, I'm not going to do a huge, big, elaborate Throwback Thursday today, but I do want to note that on this day, April 30th, 1939, Lou Gehrig played the last game in his then record 2,130 game streak. It would be the last game of Gehrig's career, as shortly after he'd be diagnosed with sclerosis, lateral sclerosis, and retired from baseball. But that's pretty remarkable, right? I mean, over 2,000 straight games played. That is incredible. Just incredible. I saw that and said, I got to mention it. I can't do an elaborate Throwback Thursday today because of time. From there, I do want to touch on Brett Favre. I agree with Brett Favre here. I don't see Aaron Rodgers finishing his career as a member of the Green Bay Packers. I just don't. I thought what the Green Bay Packers did in that first round of the NFL draft last week, I thought it sent a clear message to him. And look, man, we've had conversations when it concerns Rodgers. You know, Rodgers is not the easiest guy to get along with. You know, there have been certain words used in NFL circles to describe what it's like playing with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I didn't even know if it would work out. That was the big question. Would it work out with Matt LaFleur? Is that thing going to be a good situation for Aaron Rodgers? And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I mentioned how, look, man, this team played very well last season. You know, Green Bay was 13-3. They lost in the NFC Championship to a very stout San Francisco 49ers team. You know, that's a successful season. You know? But you know, Rodgers, he just rubs coaches the wrong way, I think. You know, he had his thing with Mike McCarthy prior to Matt LaFleur being hired. And, you know, there were some moments of tension, I think, on those sidelines between Matt and Aaron from time to time. At the end of the day, it worked out, though, and a lot of it has to do with that defense of the Green Bay Packers. But it wasn't a match made in heaven. But I can't see, after Green Bay moved up at the very beginning of the NFL draft to snag Jordan Love, that sends a clear message as to where they want to go and how they view their relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, hey, look, yeah, we may see a Brett Favre situation here where, you know, Brett Favre, you know, he ended up leaving the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, I mentioned during the headliners how, you know, in 08, he was out in New York balling out for the Jets. And, you know, he also spent some years as the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. I could see a similar situation as Aaron Rodgers' career, you know, gets closer and closer to his 40s. He'll be 37 very soon. So during the 2020 season, he'll be 37 years old. And will he embrace Jordan Love? You know, speaking of Favre and Aaron Rodgers, it was known that Favre did not embrace Aaron Rodgers. Will Aaron Rodgers embrace Jordan Love? Will he pay it back, or pay it forward, I should say? All right, folks, we're out of time, unfortunately, on this Thursday, April 30th. I'll see you in May. How's that sound? In the meantime, as always, be safe. I can't emphasize that enough. Be safe, be safe, be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.